Starship, Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis, offer another day of broadcast insolence.
You have a lot of energy, Ro. I thought we'd all be a little slower as a team today after our late night imbibing together last night at your house. Great party, by the way. Thanks to Violetta for planning the whole thing.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us over.
Did you just take my credit?
Thank you.
Yeah, he did. He kind of stepped in and took your credit.
It was a team effort. It always is.
Yes, it was. Actually, we should thank Little Bucharest, the restaurant on the northwest side of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Right at Elston and Addison.
It is a tradition.
Yes, thank
unlike
you.
Unlike any other.
It's, as the president would say, they have cabbage rolls, the likes of which no one has ever seen before.
They're great.
Not
They're terrific.
Kevin gets a hold of them.
I know Kevin just tweeted 10 minutes ago, just two words, cabbage rolls.
And then like, a fire emoji. Yeah, I was popping emoji. Those things till like midnight, like peanuts.
I noticed. Now, the evening got a little late.
It did.
We had to move off the deck into the bar.
Out of concern for the neighbors.
Out of
concern,
right. And
we did have that one neighbor kept walking back and forth and back and forth. So we're
your
okay,
neighbors
guys
are so nosy.
They were checking in on stuff.
Really
either that
loud.
Or they just wanted to join us.
They were so cool.
I did not see that neighbor. Every time I turned around, the neighbor's there. They had disappeared. I don't know which one it was.
Four or five times, this one neighbor was like, what are they doing now?
And then we're trying to describe them in whispers.
Like, I didn't know where she was.
She was very crafty.
She lurking in the bushes?
Yeah. I mean, there was some lurkage. Yeah, there might have been some lurkage. Anyway, the point is, I like CLTV is putting up pictures from the architect party. I like this. This
really?
Is very nice. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What I find most fascinating here was how no one was really leaving, and I had to leave my own party.
Oh, my God. You haven't lived until you've seen Ro Khan stomp off with a bottle of water and say, I'm going to bed. I was like, you're not going to say bye to anyone?
So who closed up shop? Violetta? Uh-oh.
Oh, right. Now, and then there was a note left for me this morning in the kitchen.
What did it say?
On a napkin with permanent marker.
Yeah, which bled through onto, part of the deck.
I wrote on top of the stove.
Okay. Oh, but even better. She wrote a note saying, thanks for having us over. Uh-huh. And she and her sister were still left when I left. And I'm praying somebody that's in my employment too.
Oh yeah, she was watching us.
Okay, good. All right. Then I went up. I go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like out. I like a light. I'm out. And then I wake up. I come down. I find this note, and it says, "Hey, guess what's missing? Let's play." This
no,
game.
I said, let's play the game. Guess what I took?
Oh, that's torture right
there. Ooh. Yeah, that doesn't feel good.
No.
So did you guess? Or
well, I started running around looking for stuff. Well, I know that, I'm assuming unless, I got roofied, that there was no, that she wasn't up, like, stealing stuff,
where you were
where the
sleeping.
Real stuff was going on, like my bedroom or a closet or anything like that. But then I'm thinking, then I'm starting to look around the house like crazy, like, what could be gone? What could be gone?
Right. What would she take?
I immediately went to the liquor cabinet, and I started counting bottles.
So where did it all go? And then you remember what we did last night?
Yes.
Ro introduced me to something known as Johnny Walker Blue, which was quite fantastic.
Well, it was the end of the Johnny Walker Blue. I'd like to point out.
Then I put the bottle back empty.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. I want to keep that bottle. It's an important bottle.
Ro went back for another swig, and he's like, Violetta, did you put this back empty?
That's like leaving the gallon of milk in the fridge with one sip.
I was going to fill it with water or like some other whiskey and just put it back there, but
that was not nice to do. No. But thank you.
There was a moment yesterday that last night before you got there when Violetta suggested, hey, why doesn't everybody put on Ro's clothes? And when he gets here, we'll see if he notices. And we shot that down.
I don't remember that.
You did. You went into his coat closet and you started taking out his clothes. And then we're like, here, everybody put these on. And we're like, but that didn't happen.
Yeah, it was very odd. Let me just say that it was very odd. More on this a little bit later on, but we do want to. I got to thank your sister Brenda, really, who was the hero of the moment.
Yeah,
Mary Millen, who's my assistant,
it's so amazing.
She is the
and
she's the heroine
Croatian,
of the moment.
By
yes,
the way.
She is Croatian.
Not
That's
my
great.
Sister.
No, but it was interesting because I had like the. It was like the Hague. It was like the war trials at the Hague. In my house last night, Serbians,
two Croatians and two Serbians,
right,
walking in Rose's house,
staring at each other in dead silence.
Yes,
I would just like to point out the Croatians didn't steal anything.
It's a game.
Always a game.
Yeah.
Until someone gets hurt.
Right. Until it's a game until there's that one moment.
Until there's blood.
Oh, God.
No one was harmed last night.
No,
in the process of good times.
Yeah, my sister and Mary did such a great job setting everything up, and they cleaned everything up, too.
Yes.
We didn't leave anything unturned.
And while the cabbage rolls are delicious, the other food was really, really good.
Well, yeah. We always have the same food over and over from
my parents'
place. So we just, improvised, did some different things.
Dynamite spread.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Some au gratin potatoes.
It's very nice. So thank you. Thank you, Bronco. Thank you, everybody. And
And
especially thank you, Arkadek, because if it weren't for them, this couldn't have happened.
They provided the setting, and it was a beautiful one.
Maybe my neighbor was just coming by to look at the deck.
That deck is pretty cool.
Yeah. And it worked out.
And, I'm not very, impressionable.
And it's versatile. There's so many different ways there's so much seating and space. And
yep. That's what they do over there.
You really did a great job.
Yeah, they did a nice job. No big deal. All right, Michael Steele's standing by to talk to us about what happened in Europe today. Apparently, we're going to war with England again. It's been a long time. It's been 200 years, 240 years. We should probably start this again, right? Or 206 years, depending on how you want to do that. But it'd be fun. I think it'd be fun to go to war with them, don't you? Why not?
I don't think it'd be
fun.
No?
All right. Mm-mm. And he met with the Queen. Didn't touch her.
No,
that was very important
about that.
He didn't grab her hand and try to lead her around the Windsor Castle,
mm-hmm.
which would have been nice.
Or do the overly strong handshake thing that he likes to do when you're kind of arm shakes.
Yeah.
You know,
didn't do any of that.
No,
he looked really contrite today. Actually, he even apologized.
He did
to Theresa May for something he said to the newspapers there. All right, we'll talk about all of that. But first, let's check in with Judy. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
A Chicago cop involved in a bar fight again.
Violetta?
Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing.
11 of the defendants are charged with conspiring to hack into computers, steal documents, and release those documents with the intent to interfere in the election.
Somebody was saying, is he an enemy? He's not my enemy.
Russian GRU officers hacked the website of a state election board and stole information about 500,000 voters.
I know you'll ask, will we be talking about meddling? And I will absolutely bring that up. I don't think you'll have any, I did it, you got me. There won't be a Perry Mason here, I don't think.
The defendants covertly monitored the computers, implanted hundreds of files containing malicious computer code, and stole emails and other documents.
I think you will probably be rewarded mightily by our press.
All right, there you have it. The indictments that were let down today. 12 indictments.
Mm-hmm.
These are all identified as either Russian GRU agents, which is their secret police, or as other officials.
Right, intelligence officials in some cases.
So it's a serious thing. And the indictments allege, among other things, that this was a concentrated effort to steal the emails from the DCCC and the Clinton campaign, including an attempt to hack the servers on the very day that the president said, hey, Russia, if you're listening. How about that? Now, he always has claimed since then he was kidding, he was joking, he didn't mean it. It was, he was just talking about stuff that was already in the news. But the fact that they did it, they took that cue, or that it was just, dumb luck that they already happened to be doing it at the time. It's a pretty damning thing that went on there.
It is. It was. They did say that they were in this particular indictment and the announcement from Rosenstein. Is it Steen?
Stein.
Gee, you might get it wrong.
that it was. There was no collusion. There were no Americans who participated in this wrongdoing that they announced today. That doesn't mean that it's not the full scope, and he's not done yet.
Right. And the investigation is over now. Rudy Giuliani has since said, he tweeted out that they should end the investigation now because they got the guy. It was Russia. See, it was Russia the whole time. Russia did it. Now they're acknowledging. At least somebody's acknowledging that Russia did do it. Russia was behind something here. But this is a this, I think, begins a this is a two-part circumstance, because now the question is, were there Americans involved? Were there people in the Trump campaign that were involved in helping the Russians with this in terms of either giving them any kind of aid, you know, technical aid, information, whatever it happened to be, cash, an exchange of cash in some way, shape, or form? That's going to be the question. Now, do they have that or don't they have that? We'll just have to wait and see. This is not over yet. And interestingly enough, now we already know that Papadopoulos has been picked up, right? The guy from Chicago that the Trump folks say was a coffee boy. It was nothing more than that. Mm-hmm. But he's been picked up for his contact with some of these folks. And the question is, did he know who he was dealing with at the time? And we don't know yet, because that particular indictment hasn't been made available to us yet. And I think that's fascinating. The other guy here in the middle of all this is Roger Stone, that crazy Roger Stone guy.
Yes.
Who says that he was talking to Guccifer too, right? There was this Guccifer character who's a hacker. Everybody thought was a hacker. Turns out was actually a GRU agent for Russia.
Right. And he's, you know, he's sort of saying, didn't know that he was Russian. He was communicating with him, but didn't know that, you know, exactly who this person was, just that he might have information that was interesting to the Trump campaign. The other thing that's come out today, as you look here, is a member of Congress, CNN is reporting, confirmed that they haven't named this person yet, that they had worked with these hackers as well and reached out to the Russians to try to get information for that person's individual campaign, that against the opponent that member of Congress was running against. They also got information. And journalists are scrambling right now to figure out which member of Congress this is. Something else that came out just this afternoon.
I don't think this is over. Despite what Rudy says and the president says, now we got to end all this. And will the president say anything? And he's got a couple options on Monday when he sits down with Vladimir Putin. He can say, hand the guys over to us, which is unlikely to be said. And, of course, Vladimir Putin wouldn't do it. But and then Trump will say, well, he wouldn't do it anyway. Why would I say it to him? Will he post him up in any way? Will he warn him? Will he say, well, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. You want us to do this to you?
Right. The president said today it will come up. Of course it will. You know, trying to head off reporters who are just about to ask him that. But what he'll say and how Russia will react and how serious he'll be about it, you know, remains to be seen, especially if that's a closed-door meeting just between President Trump and Putin.
With no Americans in the room. I don't understand that. As an American, am I going to get out of that that's going to be good? What can I hope is going to be good for me as, and that's, you know, forget about party, forget about economic, where you live, any of that stuff. As an American, we should all stop and ask ourselves what could be good about our relationship with Russia? Already knowing that they did this, everybody has to stipulate to this now that they did it. Knowing that they did this, what could be the positive outcome for us of Trump meeting with Putin without us knowing what was said? Is Putin going to say, oh, you know what, I'm sorry, I'll stop now. Thank you. Now make sure I win again in 2020 and then we're good to go.
Right. Top Democrats today, that's what they're saying. They're calling for the president to immediately cancel his meeting with Vladimir Putin, that now that we've learned this recent information about his intelligence agencies or people working for the Russian government and others who were involved in this, you know, the latest investigation that we found out from the Mueller team, that there should be no meeting until there's some sort of, you know, come to Jesus on this particular issue.
Yeah. Well, they just announced, the White House just announced that there will not be a cancellation of the meeting with Vladimir Putin. It will go on as planned.
On Monday.
Regardless of, you know, what all these weenie whinies are trying to do. Democrats, they're your worst enemy. Vladimir Putin, your best friend. I am living in an alternate universe right now. I just am.
Yeah.
All right, we got Judy Pilak standing by. She's got the WGN News coming your way, too.
So I know you'll ask, will we be talking about meddling? And I will absolutely bring that up. I don't think you'll have any, I did it, you got me. There won't be a Perry Mason here, I don't think, but you never know what happens, right? But I will absolutely, firmly ask the question. And hopefully we'll have a very good relationship with Russia. I think having, and the Prime Minister would agree, if we have a good relationship with Russia and with China and with other countries, that's a good thing, not a bad thing.
Yeah, even though they've literally attacked us.
Meeting's going to happen. Top Democrats trying to urge the president not to meet with Putin, but he says, nope, they're going ahead with it.
Michael Steele, you used to run the Republican Party. Do you think that Donald Trump should meet with Vladimir Putin on Monday?
Sure. Absolutely. Why not?
Well, where can I begin to answer that
Why
question?
Not?
Why not?
No, of course he should. Yeah, look. Here's the thing. Donald Trump is too into himself not to recognize that this is a setup. This is the best setup possible. Rosenstein briefed the president a couple of days ago. The president comes out this morning and says, "Oh, it was a witch hunt," right? Then Rosenstein, and he knew that because he said that in anticipation of what Rosenstein was going to do, because Rosenstein told him that's what he was going to do. Rosenstein drops this thing and basically is telling the president, "You want to go play? Go play." Now he's going to carry that into that meeting with Putin, a meeting that, by all accounts, from the White House, will have no one to document or otherwise acknowledge that the president did exactly what he said in your clip that he was going to do. Mm-hmm. That he's going to confront the president of Russia with this evidence. He's not. As far as I'm concerned, this is just the asset. Checking in with the handlers, as far as I'm concerned. Let him go. Let him play this thing off, because Rosenstein knows that Mueller's got something for him coming down the pike. And this is all part of the body of evidence that's being built up, that the president, who's, again, as I said, is too much into himself to recognize that he's putting the noose around his own ankles. I didn't say neck, his ankles.
Yes, I understand. I know. We have to be politically correct about our nooses now, apparently, too. Mm-hmm. Let's worry, because I do a lot of worrying here. I've done a lot of worrying in advance of Monday.
I need to come to Chicago, take you out, so you can worry
a
little less.
We do need you here, Michael. You're a calming influence on him.
You know, he came in.
Well documented.
And then he avoided me for 2 days because he was like,
he's all panicky that day.
He was very busy. He's very busy. It's going to be like, what about Bob? I'm going to show up at his, just like follow him around with a fish around my neck, with a goldfish around my neck. Let me run this past you. You are indicating to me right now, you are saying that you believe that Mueller does have stuff that is very, very, very significant, or the working out stuff that is very significant, that will implicate people around Trump, that Americans in this, and it might go as high as the president. Is that what you're thinking?
I think that there's something there, because what was interesting about what Rosenstein said today was that this indictment does not include any evidence, all right, that Americans knew about this particular part of the conspiracy. Okay. All right. This indictment. But you still now, which tells me that there may be other indictments to come that still may involve these individuals, but with a different legal narrative that he will then subsequently tie it all together. Because notice what Rosenstein started using. The word he started using today was conspiracy. Mm-hmm. All right. And he started laying down the tracks that these 12, in addition to the 13 who had been indicted before, the Russians, along with all the others who are now coming forth, falling all over themselves to either plead guilty or cooperate, that this is going to be a bigger piece than we see right now. He's only given us, it's like your mama at Thanksgiving dinner. You know there's a whole big behind pie in that oven. But when it comes out, she's only going to give you a little piece.
Right.
Right? So you're just getting a little piece of this thing right now.
Right.
There will be more that's going to be served up later, which is why I say, Mr. President, since you don't want to listen to people, you know what you're doing, go ahead and meet with your handler and lay out what you need to lay out, because at the end of the day, all of this is going to be part of that ultimate narrative.
And one of the new things that came to light today, Michael, I want to get your feedback on this. An American congressional candidate allegedly asked for and received stolen documents about his or her opponent, not identified person at this point, from the Russians. That came out today as part of this announcement. So that person is going to
It goes to the conversation that we've been having on this program, and that I've certainly been having at MSNBC and others been having. The Russians are playing in this upcoming fall election. Everybody knows it, except no one's doing anything about it in our government. And that is the thing that I find the most depressing, is that it is the idea that this is how you help the Republicans keep the House? Really? And if this is what our narrative is going to be, our relationship with Russia is going to be, is that they help sustain your power, God help us when 2020 rolls around.
Very dangerous for the Republican Party, right? I mean, there's just it couldn't be worse, really, for the party, because if this does come out and Mueller does have goods here, and then Republicans try to stop the release of that, as they're already doing. You see them in that hearing yesterday with Strzok, who is not a sympathetic figure, and he shouldn't have done what he did. But what they're trying to do is indicate that anything, as a matter of fact, Rudy Giuliani said this too, that they should throw out all of the Mueller investigation because Strzok was involved with it. And that has nothing to do with whether or not this actually occurred, whether justice can actually be served here.
Well, this is where Rudy and others kind of fall all over themselves with stupid, and that is that the independent counsel, the IG, right, the one that everyone talks about, who, you know, everybody's waiting for and bragging about their finding, found that, yeah, this guy messed up. Yeah, he and his partner shouldn't have been involved in anything. Yes, they are biased. They don't like Trump. Oh, and they didn't like Hillary either, and they didn't like a lot of other candidates that they talked about,
right,
in their emails. But none of that had any impact or influence on how they handled their case. It had no impact at all, not even to the degree where you could say it was no perceptible, which means, well, maybe there was something that, no, zero. So this argument that somehow Strzok and others inside the FBI were part of some grand cabal conspiring to take down Donald Trump is ludicrous, because if they wanted to take down Donald Trump, all he had to do 4 weeks before the election was to drop the dime that, guess what, we're pursuing Donald Trump as well. And that did not happen. So, all, you know, they can't have it both ways. Either he was trying to take out Donald Trump, or he was trying to take out Hillary Clinton, or you can't have both. And so
if you
this
were,
is where the whole thing falls apart.
Last moment here. If you were still running the Republican Party, would you be saying to your members of Congress and your senators and your other elected officials up and down the line at state, local, and national levels, would you be saying to them, keep your powder dry on this, don't rush head, you know, into, you know, over the cliff necessarily to support the president? Or do you understand why they're doing that?
Yes, because with respect to that very, very narrow base of the Republican Party that is 1,000% are behind Donald Trump, that's not going to win you current or future elections. You're going to need to be able to look the American voter in the eye with a higher degree of credibility than you have now. And so, yeah, I would say keep your powder dry, keep your mouth shut. Do not engage in the kind of, I mean, P.T. Barnum would have been proud of what he saw yesterday, because that three-ring circus that Republicans put on to try to embarrass and shame Strzok, particularly when they went after the nature of his relationship with his wife and put that into the congressional record. You win no brownie points with voters on that. And I think that is something where the little bit of advice that I can give, so if you guys are listening, y'all need to shut the hell up. No more hearings. Keep your mouth quiet. Yeah. Get through Labor Day and wait to see what Mueller has to deliver.
Yeah, because we figured something is either going to be around Labor Day or not. And it is interesting. It seems to be it's fascinating that Rosenstein dropped this on a Friday afternoon, but right as the president was meeting with the Queen, which he wanted those images on the screen, everybody was cutting away from. Well, not Fox. Fox still hasn't reported this, by the way. The Rosenstein, I don't think. indictments.
Well, and shortly before his meeting with Putin, right? This is coming out.
Yeah, I think maybe Shep got to it in the C block. I'm not sure. All right, Michael.
Well, state TV rarely reports anything that's not favorable to the leader, so yes,
we understand.
Just ask Kim Jong Un how that goes. I can tell you how that goes. Right. That does not go well. All right. Thank you very much.
Have a good weekend, Michael.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
All right. Right now, let's check in with Judy, find out what's coming up at the top of the hour.
An Indiana man accused of trying to buy a little girl.
Violetta?
And then there's this. Listen to the Steve Cochran Show Monday at 7:20 for your chance to win free 4-pack of tickets to the Blackhawks Convention.
Oh, it's real good to hit the post. Just perfect.
You like that, cheesy radio guy? Oh, it's Friday.
It's hard. That's hard to do, I can tell you right now. It takes you almost like 4 or 5 hours of training before you can do that.
I learned from the best.
Yes. Well, yes, you did, little lady. All right. Susie Sunshine is joining us right now, and she is our financial analyst. She explains all the things that are happening in the world to us. And we are heading into, I believe it's next week, if I am not mistaken, we're heading into earnings season. I read a story about that today, that this is a big, 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 big deal, this earnings season.
Yes, it is. And it actually started a little bit earlier than that. So it really started in force today.
Oh,
we saw several of the major big banks report this morning. Companies are out there. They're talking about how they did in the last quarter and what they see for the rest of the year and their outlook. So that's really important right now because this is the first time that management teams have been out making these public statements while we've had this ongoing talk of tariffs and trade. And so this is a chance for CEOs to have another platform to communicate to the administration on how this might impact their businesses.
Anybody complaining about it yet?
Well, we're still really early on, so not yet. One of our more outspoken individuals who doesn't always get on the call but does so occasionally was on the J.P. Morgan call this morning. Jamie Dimon, head of J.P. Morgan, was on the call this morning and did talk about, you know, the aspect of tariffs and that it isn't harming anything yet, but it can be a threat to confidence, which would then hinder and hamper business. So we're starting to see the first comments around that, and I think that's going to be very important to watch and see as the tone of this progresses. Remember, the earnings happens. There are a lot of publicly traded companies, so this extends over several weeks. So we're going to be hearing from a lot of management teams across all different industries, whether it's consumers who are importing goods from China or steel guys who want that protection or feeling that they can't make it without a little extra help because other countries are dumping steel in our markets. So we're going to hear from across the board how people are seeing this, and I think it's going to be very revealing.
I know, Susan, there has been a lot of good economic data, and it seems the economy overall is on solid footing, and you've talked a lot about why that is. But I want you to help us understand something that's going on that I see a lot of stories about lately. The yield curve and the gap between short and long-term interest rates is narrowing, and many are interpreting that to mean that there are concerns ahead for our economy. Some are being more alarmist than others, but tell us, is this something we need to worry about and help explain why that's important?
Yes. So what does that mean? So short term and long term, we can get a U.S. Treasury for 3 months, 6 months, a year. You could also get a 30-year bond or a 10-year U.S. bond. And so the difference in interest rates between those is what you're referring to, Anna. And usually we like to see the spread, so the difference between investing in something for 6 months versus investing in it for 5 years. And you'll see that at the different rates that are offered at your bank when you go and look at a CD and how long you're going to, usually you want to get paid more. more for having your money tied up for longer. So what we're seeing is the difference between those longer dated bonds versus the short term is compressing, and it's actually tightened quite a bit. It's historically at one of its lowest and narrowest points. And when we call that a flat curve, there's not a lot of difference between the near end and the far end. So there's concern over that because a flat curve is often seen as a harbinger of a recession or a downturn in the economy. I'm not as worried about that right now because we have a couple different things going on. First of all, we have the Fed out there saying that they feel good about things. They're seeing good economic data, so they're raising short-term interest rates. So that's bringing the front end of the curve up. And at the same time, we've got a lot of global turmoil. The nice thing is that U.S. Treasuries are still the backstop for the global economy when it comes to safety. People pour their money into U.S. bonds and want U.S. government instruments. So when that happens, you get a lot of demand, the prices then increase, and the interest rates fall. So we have the back end, that 5, 10-year, 30-year treasury rate, that is coming down. And so our spread is narrowing, but it's actually for good reason. So in this case, I'm not as concerned. It is attracting a lot of attention, mm-hmm. and it's important to understand the drivers behind it.
All right.
That helps.
Yep.
It helps a lot. There was some pretty alarmist articles out there just about everywhere you look, CNBC, Wall Street Journal, everywhere, saying that this is some kind of a very negative indicator. But
it's a lot of noise about that. But again, that's why earnings are so important. Listen to what these management teams are saying about how they're feeling about how the companies are operating. And I think that will give us some more insight into how things look for the rest of the year.
All right. Tuesday Sunshine. Thank you.
Thanks, Susan.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Let's tell you, right before we do Judy's news here, let me tell you that coming up next hour, I have a family four-pack of passes to the 11th Annual Blackhawks Convention at the Hilton Chicago, July 27th through the 29th. Get your convention passes and hotel guest rooms today. Book online at chicagoblackhawks.com. Keep thinking about that, because in this hour, this upcoming hour, I'm going to be giving that away to you post-haste. That's what that means right there.
Post-haste
makes that sound go. Steve Cochran celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Lindemann Chimney and Fireplace bringing you Judy Pilak's news. Stay close. I got your passes to the Hawks Convention coming up in 2 weeks at the beautiful Hilton in downtown Chicago.
When are you giving those away?
Sometime this hour. Stay close. Thank you, Radio Guy.
Thanks.
Thank you.
She's a Radio Guy.
I'm staying close after that tease, that's for sure.
Yeah. We're right about to step into the weekend land.
Okay.
Time to get you your Hawks passes for the Hawks convention coming your way in 2 weeks. Coming up right here, 93 at O'Hare.
Everyone's watching.
Nice job hitting the post.
Yeah,
he
was.
Great job.
You know what? He gave a half a beat away, which you're not supposed to do.
And I like how you just got the weather report in there too. Just slip that in, just in time.
In afternoons, you only got to say what the temperature is at O'Hare. I don't know why they always do
either.
That right before the.
And sometimes I don't understand why they give all three readings when they're exactly the same. But I guess just for accuracy.
Yeah, I guess. And now I like.
I do that. What do you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
But when they're all the same.
They're not all the same. They're
no, on days
different.
When they're all the same. Are
they're
they
never the same. Ever, ever,
is that
never.
Right, Tom Skilling?
Tom, are they never, ever the same?
Oh, they're frequently not. Let's put
Thank
it that way.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah. You know, variety is the spice of life. by the way, Anna, do you have him on meds today?
We had a big party last night. The whole team went out, so everyone's a little bit weird today. We're all sort of, kind of recovering.
Tom.
Great night out.
Was it really something? How was the deck?
Beautiful. The deck is gorgeous. It really is. It's this awesome fire pit. It's
perfect
just
platform
perfect.
For our partying, Tom.
Yeah. It sounded lovely.
And apparently, it's reported to me that I had a neighbor that kept passing back and forth.
You did.
Taking notes.
She was like pretending to throw out garbage and like coming up with reasons she needed
Keeping
to go through the little area
things,
outside
huh?
his house. But each time she'd like turn her head and stare. And
Well, and you know it's bad when I'm the responsible one. I'm like, let's move this inside. I think we're a little loud.
Tom's Killing being brought to you by Permaseal Basement Systems, by the way. I think it was an interesting moment. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, it was such a great party. I left it, and it was my own house.
Bye bye.
Where did you go?
I went to bed. I went to bed, and it was still going on.
Party
and
continued,
like,
Tom.
I'm going upstairs. You guys are on your own, and that's what happened.
He stomped upstairs with a bottle of water, never to be seen again.
Yeah. And Violetta was still in the house at that time.
Yes, so it was Violetta, her sister,
quite a trusting move.
Yeah. Well.
He couldn't make a decision. He had to go.
People were just fading throughout the night. You know when the baseball players walk into the cornfield and Field of Dreams just kind of fade away?
Yeah.
It's like everyone just like, where did he go? Where did she go? Yeah. Everyone was just dropping.
She gone? And True. Then someone left with my sister's car keys.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Brian that's drove nice. Off with my sister's keys. I'm like mm-hmm. calling everybody. I can't get a hold of anybody. And so I thought we were going to have to leave her car there. And then I thought I was going to just leave her there. You know?
Oh, wow.
For you. Like, just yeah. to, you know, just to make it a better story, but...
Imagine if you woke up and we were all still there, Ro.
Like, what is going on?
We, like, turned into a family. We're cooking eggs in the morning.
Hey!
Having breakfast.
Did you guys spend the night? What happened here?
We moved in while you were sleeping.
Actually, wow. I do have to hand it to Violetta, because she
did a great job.
And her sister, they cleaned, and along with Mary, my assistant, they cleaned up everything. I came down. I was expecting a total mess, and maybe Kevin asleep in the sink, and it was absolutely sparkling. Thank
How
you.
How about that?
And she's a tremendous nice. Cook too. She just cooked up a spread for us. It was beautiful.
What Violetta did?
No, not me. My sister and my mom put that all together, and they did a really good job with the whole meal. And I like to clean up after the party just so I know I can ensure that there's another party. So I'll always clean up.
Oh, that's very nice.
Very responsible.
You know, I remember that going away party we had for Mark Sapelsa at your folks' place, Violetta. That was a lot of fun.
That was, that was crazy.
Yeah, food's amazing.
It was. So what time did things kind of ebb last night then?
By the way, there's a photo gallery, WGNradio.com, if you want to see some of the photos.
Photographic evidence.
Well, I stopped.
During the day.
I stopped as soon as the sun went down. I stopped all photography. Mm-hmm.
It was a strong cutoff there.
I collected all the cell phones. I put them in evidence bags and in a locker.
So that somehow your neighbor was still coming by taking pictures. It was weird. I was like, what is going on here, Tom? But have you ever had frosé, Tom?
No. What is that?
The rosé that's kind of frozen.
Yeah. We whipped up a little frozen rosé.
Frosé.
Yeah. Oh, it's ice rosé. Simple
Sounds
syrup.
Good.
And a little fresh strawberries frozen.
Ooh.
So good.
Very nice.
Violetta's just making her way through Rose's kitchen, finding different tools.
Oh,
Rose's like, I have that? Whose is
like,
this?
No,
is that
I don't
mine?
Have a blender.
Right.
Where did that come from?
And he has this very fancy food processor where you take the processor top off and then it turns into a blender base. It's like a 10-in-1.
And then frosé happened.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was going to use the food processor, really.
Yeah.
It doesn't smell like garlic.
It was unbelievable how at home she is in my house. Yeah. It's like she goes through everything. She's going through my closet. She's going through my coat closet.
She did. She told everyone to put the coats on.
Why do you have those leather gloves still on the top shelf over there?
She got creeped out by your gloves because she thought, they were just, there was weird leather gloves.
They just seemed out of place in the
middle
of summer.
Well, it's where my winter, but where am I supposed to put them?
I don't know, in a box somewhere.
Oh, my God. Get out of my house.
She's going to rearrange her whole house, bro.
This isn't where this should go.
Yeah.
No, but it was a lot of fun. Thank you for your hospitality, Ro.
It would be very interesting. I think I'm going to go home, and she will have already rented it out to an Airbnb. There's going to be some guy, right, in like a hemp T-shirt, and like, hey, dude,
smoking
thanks for having me.
No,
it's really good. You do a lot of smoking in here, right?
Hey, great deck.
Don't worry, Ro. Your condo association won't allow it.
I don't
especially
think so.
That lady walking around.
Dude, I hope not.
Dude, the smoked bong on the deck, man.
Ro, why did you have Thursday night instead of like tonight? What was?
Because that's the night that everybody could do it.
To
get everybody on this show, to everybody's got commitments and work
night.
Commitments and
We're
other commitments.
So gotcha.
Yeah, and so it was like no one could do it.
Well, you had perfect weather. It was a beautiful night for that.
It was.
Yeah. Gorgeous.
Yeah. Now,
well, it sounds great. It sounds like you had...
Wish you were there, Tom.
Yeah, I would love to have been there. Sounds like it was a kind of a culinary event too.
Yeah, it was. Well, it was good. I guess I don't know. I didn't really get a chance to eat.
I ate like half the food,
right?
Because
you're
consumed by me, Tom.
Yeah.
As soon as Kevin got in there, good luck.
Kevin always is. It takes care of the food.
That's right.
Kevin was like a power forward standing in the lanes,
yeah.
You know, that would just wouldn't let anybody get
boxing
through.
Out.
Yeah,
these are mine.
He would hold his crotch and stand there like, you know, like trying to draw the foul,
taking a charge.
You know, like, right, exactly.
You just go through me.
Yeah, just waiting to get knocked over for people getting to the food. It was it was crazy what was going on. But I woke up and I was fine. Like the best part was I woke up. That's always a good sign.
That's a good place to start.
Right? There's your start, and then when I went downstairs with the greatest fear, it was all cleaned up, and there was a note actually from the three that did all of that.
Look at that!
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's really nice.
It was really nice. So it was very good. Yes, it will be done again at some point in 2030, 2031, something like that.
Oh,
all right, there are thunderstorms moving through the Chicago area.
Yes, they've put a thunderstorm watch up north of the Wisconsin line right now. So it's up in Walworth and Kenosha counties. Big storms out in Iowa, and some of these could affect us in the early morning hours. And the hours just after daybreak tomorrow. Then I think that first batch will thin out, and if we get daytime heating and this air mass recovers, we could develop some additional storms later tomorrow night. We've got the difference here is we've got a jet stream in the area later tomorrow, so these storms bubble up into a wind field aloft that they can tap and bring down some of the energy. So not only do you have the potential for some heavy rains where these things occur, but they might also be borderline severe, producing some gusty winds here or nearby. So it'll be an interesting weekend. I think Sunday the storm threat thins out, and it'll just be kind of hot and humid with a lake breeze tempering the heat along the lakefront some, but still 80s at the beaches and the low 90s inland. And today, this is the 13th day of 90-degree warmth this year. That's way ahead of last year, and it's way ahead of the average of 8. But there's a nice cool down coming Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the latter half of next week. So
Queen Falls coming?
No, I wouldn't write that off. You know, Bill's and he's in depression here because
He likes this weather. Is this too hot for Bill, or is this okay?
No, he's
into this.
This is great. You know, it's about to the point where the morgue opens up with folks succumbing to this heat. That's the way
how
Bill
cool
likes
is it going to be next week, Bill Snyder?
We're talking only about 80. So it's lovely. I mean, it's just most of us would consider this gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't give up on the hot weather yet. I'm sure it'll be back, but there is a decided pattern change from Tuesday forward next week, but in a very nice way. So,
yeah, not a scary, like, autumnal way.
No.
Because we are halfway
heavens.
Through.
It's only July.
I know, but Sunday, we're at the halfway point of summer.
Wow.
I know, really? But remember there's this lag between the hottest temperatures and the shortening days starting and all. So, and the lake lags even a little farther than that. You have about a month lag on temperatures. So, in other words, the longest days are around June 21st. So, the hottest temps are around July 21st.
Mm-hmm.
And the lake reaches its peak about another month later. So, that comes later in August. So, you know, you got a lot of things reinforcing the warmth, and it is certainly not time to play taps for summer or the warmth.
All right. Okay.
But so. What's the hottest point of the weekend? Where are we going to get?
I think today was the hottest of this particular series. The thunderstorms will have, will take a few degrees off the temperature column tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But then with daytime heating and fewer storms in the area, they'll be mostly downstate on Sunday. We could get up to the low 90s and maybe pop an isolated storm. But the things tomorrow, there'll be some storms in the morning and some storms later tomorrow and perhaps into tomorrow night. So that by sunset tomorrow night, something like 60 or 70% of the area may have seen a thunderstorm in the tomorrow period. So,
morning or after, that's afternoon?
There'll be a few in the morning. In fact, the latest model runs show a pretty good cluster of thunderstorms getting in here, say, toward 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. And then lingering a couple hours beyond that into the morning hours, and then thinning out. The sun will come out if the air mass recovers and warms, as we think it may. May not be quite as hot as today, but still enough to bubble up some additional storms later in the day.
Okay, we got some bubbling up.
Yeah.
Right. My stomach is doing that from last night.
Mine too. Mine did that right after we had the frozé.
Yeah, it turns out that frozé is kind of acidy. Yes. It's sort of, it gives you a little bit of dyspepticness.
It sounds to me like you guys kind of kept things under control. Everybody sounds very healthy and very with it.
No.
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 There were a few moments.
No, I was a little blurry eyed. I had a meeting in the morning.
It? Yeah,
yeah.
Well, so, you had a long day. That was a long day. I remember you saying that.
I was up at 6 o'clock in the morning yesterday, and then that's why I literally my body said, "That's it, you're done.
Yeah,
go to bed."
Yeah,
and then I stomped away from my own party.
Yeah,
you did.
Yeah,
with the bottle of water.
You're a very trusting person, but you know you've got a good group.
I know
when
people...
I hear Violetta's cleaned up, that's pretty nice.
Well, yeah, she's cleaned up all right. That's what that is. Yeah.
He's taking inventory at home.
Right at the same time.
I think it's a good thing. But back to your question about why a Thursday nighttime, I think that actually helps because if this was a weekend and none of us had plans the next morning,
they'd still be at my house.
We'd still be at his house.
Yeah. 20 hours later,
they'd get out of control a little
bit. Yeah, they'd be like, hey, let's do it again tonight, huh?
Well,
yeah.
Kevin, hearing you pass on the food, that's always a good sign because you pay attention to the food, and that
they sent me home with like a box of cabbage rolls on my car ride home. I was
what
just
are
stuffing
in cabbage rolls? You mentioned that
it's ground beef, pork, and rice.
Ooh,
wrapped
that
up
sounds
in pickled
good.
Cabbage, yeah.
And then it's this red sauce is over it.
Mm.
Yeah, they're wonderful.
Yeah, they are.
I'm gonna have them for dinner tonight. Mm-hmm.
Very nice. That makes me hungry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bill comes in here with pizza. He picks up on the way in, and he brought some minestrone soup.
That smells. You know, they get that sort of wafting, sort of Italian thing going. It just drives you nuts, doesn't it?
If you're hungry.
I know there is something marvelous about the smell, isn't there?
Yeah,
the aroma of Italian food.
Like cabbage rolls.
Cabbage rolls, the scent lingers a little bit.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's a little different, and then sometimes, about 16 hours later,
there are some other repercussions.
Yeah, it's got an issue, too. Yeah, sort of that
totally worth it, though, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Don't worry about it. I'm good. I'm good.
Totally fine.
Yes. Hold on one second. I'll be right back.
Be in the golf course tomorrow morning.
Yeah, you don't want
to. I got to identify all the bathrooms before.
Yeah, you don't want a 5-minute warning after the second hole, and you go, says here that
how close am I?
Right.
To
the first relief station, as they call it on a golf, is it the 13th hole?
Oh, we've got some trouble here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How big's that tree? All right.
Your golf towel.
Oh, gosh. I don't want to know any of this.
All right, this took a turn.
It's a ticket.
All right. Well, all right, Tom, I know you got to get back to the weather center. There's
Guys,
a lot going
thank
on.
Thank you. Cutting a little short today, but have a great weekend.
Thank
everybody.
You. You too. We'll
thanks,
talk to you
bro. All thanks. Right. Anna, see ya.
Thanks, Tom.
Bye,
you
everybody.
Too.
Bye,
Enjoy
Tom.
The weekend. Violetta.
Bye, Tom.
Bye.
Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Tears of joy for the little girl who's crying to find the family separation controversy.
Violetta?
Then there's this 100 events, 19 days, one epic food festival. Visit ctfoodbowl.com for the ultimate Chicago food experience all this August.
Sort of heavy in festival season right now. You got Taste of Chicago going right down the block on Columbus from us where we are right now. And then you've got... you got that music festival, right?
Windy City Smokeout.
Right.
I'll be there, no big deal.
Barbecue and some
country
western.
I'm going for the barbecue.
Yeah. I'm going for the country.
Yeah, the music is really good at that, by the way.
It is
really
so good.
They do get some big acts.
They do. They do indeed. And it's interesting. It's in a space that no one knew existed.
You don't really realize
even
it's there.
Even when you drive by, you don't even realize it's there. They have like huge balloons now, so when you get off to Kennedy, you can see like where it is.
Right.
Because it's like this sunken, like hidden area of Chicago.
What is it used for year-round? Is it a little parking lot
down
there?
It's the parking lot for the distribution for the Freedom Center. Mm-hmm. So that's where all the newspaper trucks and magazine trucks and all that pull up to before they... that's what that is. So...
Somehow it works out perfectly for that music festival.
Yeah.
Just kind of, self-contained down there, all the great country music. It's awesome.
I would tell you how to get there, but I can't.
I know. It's hard to
Grand
describe.
In the River.
Yeah.
Just walk it over
but
there.
But here's the problem. You can't park at Grand in the River.
I wouldn't even recommend driving over there.
No.
It's nothing.
And it's nothing but like, it's like Uber City. The Ubers like pull up, disgorge people, then keep moving. It's like it's almost like the limos at the Oscars. They're just pulling up and people are getting out.
Yeah, because parking's impossible.
See, ballparks and stadiums now are starting to figure that out. They have designated Uber lots now. Where they basically
do drop offs and pickups.
Yeah, navigate them over there so you're not wandering for Ubers and looking for them.
Yep.
Hopefully they figured it out.
Yeah, and they got that going over there, too.
And they have great barbecue, too. Isn't that what they're known for?
Like nationwide, people cut like Salt Lick from down in Texas, which is a renowned one. All the best barbecue. Myron Mixon. The big dogs.
Yeah, come in for this. It's really great. Yeah. It's really great. So it's a Grand in the river, essentially.
And yeah, 560 West Grand, if you want to punch it in.
Okay,
phone,
yeah.
But
if you try to drive to that location, good luck.
It won't appear. You'll just drive in circles.
Kind of down below, right?
Yeah.
An overpass.
Yeah. Well, there's parking lots in River West, or River North, I should say, in River North that you can park at, and then you walk over. That's what I notice a lot of people do.
Pro tip.
Yeah, pro tip. No big deal. Been there a number of times.
Yeah, really.
Yep.
Maybe Joe Donlan will go with you, the principal news anchor from WGN TV News.
Do you want to come? What?
Since he's you and Kev's friend now.
He's our best friend.
Mm-hmm.
He might want to go. He didn't make it to the party.
Yeah, why didn't he come?
News isn't going to deliver itself. He's got to be on 9.
Yeah, I said all the TVs to him last night.
We kind of waved.
Yeah.
He knew.
Joe. I think I'll text Joe right now and see if he notices me when I text him on the TV.
He did that secret nose hello to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joe blinked 3 times.
Yeah. I had to guess his text number, though. I wasn't sure.
You told him to come over after the news.
He's always got a thing. You know, he's a busy guy.
Busy. Yeah,
every time I call him, he says, Kev, I got that thing. I go, okay, it's fine, Joe. That's totally fine.
It's all right.
Hop it tomorrow.
Yeah, hop it tomorrow.
Hop it tomorrow. No.
I'm free all day, Joe.
Keep trying. Don't worry.
He's got a thing. He's a busy man. You know?
Yeah.
I totally get it.
He often tells us he's out of town, and then we see him on TV.
It's weird.
It doesn't work when you're a news anchor.
And then he says, I recorded it last month. And I was like, really? The news?
It's a stock newscast.
Okay, I get it. Yeah, little pro tip. You know, they recorded the news a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He loves you guys, though.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, we're
does.
Best friends.
No
yeah,
big deal.
I'm sure that is true. All right, Judy's standing by. She's got the WGN News in tip.
Oh, he's a competitor. He's been very nice to me the times I've met him. I've been nice to him. He's a competitor. You know, somebody was saying, is he an enemy? No, he's not my enemy. Is he a friend? No, I don't know him well enough. But the couple of times that I've gotten to meet him, we got along very well. You saw that. I hope we get along well. I think we get along well. But ultimately, he's a competitor. He's representing Russia. I'm representing the United States.
Oh, you're doing a great job, too. They love you in England. Although, to be fair, they often protest American presidents because they're still mad about the revolution, I think.
Can't get over it.
I haven't quite gotten over it. Renato Mariani is with us, and he is an attorney here in Chicago. We see him a lot on CNN as a political analyst. And let's talk about what happened today with this indictment. First of all, there's some Illinois news related to all of this Russian behavior, right?
Exactly right. So, excuse me, the Illinois Board of Elections announced this afternoon that it is very likely that the State Board of Election referred to in the indictment is Illinois. And what that means is that 500,000 voters here in Illinois had their names, addresses, dates of birth, driver's license numbers, and partial social security numbers stolen by the Russian operatives who were charged in the indictment. So I think that's pretty big local news.
What would intent be? Obviously, they said in this indictment that they didn't change any votes or the outcome of the election, but what would be the intent of a hacker there to try to do just that?
You know, what the Board of Elections said was that they didn't try to change any votes, but they did try to change the addresses of some voters.
Mm-hmm.
I would have presumed to create some sort of discord, and they were unable to do so, but they stole the data. I mean, we don't know what they'll do with it. Obviously, they still have it. Not a good thing if you're an Illinois voter. You don't want your data stolen by anybody, but certainly not by the Russian government.
Yeah.
So
doesn't feel so good.
I suspect this is going to be a hot button issue in the attorney general's race. Kwame Raoul issued a statement. It'll be interesting to see what Erica Harold says, you know, calling for an investigation of this. So I'm sure we're going to hear more about this next week.
Yeah. I think we're going to hear more about many things next week and in the weeks after, because do you get a sense, because you're an attorney, do you get a sense that this investigation is over? This is all they got?
Oh, no. I mean, as a matter of fact, Rosenstein said today the investigation's ongoing. I would expect more indictments to come. But, you know, the Republicans are certainly doing what they can to bring it to an end. Every Republican has been calling on that, not only congressional Republicans. The RNC today, Republican National Committee, called on the investigation to end. Rudy Giuliani, the president's lawyer, called on the investigation to end. It's an odd thing when an investigation produces a very noteworthy indictment that I think – should be a nonpartisan indictment. In other words, no one's for Russians hacking our elections. Hopefully not, if you're an American citizen. No one's for Russians stealing our identities and so on. So this shouldn't be the time to call for an investigation to end. It's odd, but that is a call. And actually, there was recent reporting by Politico that Republicans in the House are trying to impeach, and they're going to be presenting in the next day or so impeachment articles for Rod Rosenstein, the deputy attorney general, you know, partially, I think, in an effort to derail the Mueller investigation.
Do you think this piece of it, Bob Mueller chose, or Rosenstein chose to reveal days before the president's meeting with Putin, was that, do you think, intentional, that this is out there, he's carrying this with him to present it to Putin?
I think that they certainly thought about the timing. In other words, one thing that I'm sure Mueller is thinking about is what indictments does it make sense to issue in the run-up to a midterm election. So it's something that's very politically charged. Prosecutors don't want to issue those indictments before an election. This is something that's fairly nonpartisan, or shouldn't be something that would be seen to help one side or another in an election. I don't think that Mueller decided to obtain this indictment because of the timing of the summit, but I'm sure there's going to be speculation about that. It would not be a typical thing. When I was a federal prosecutor, not be a typical thing we would be thinking about.
How do you extradite 12 Russian intelligence officers? Do they ever face any kind of consequences?
You don't. And just to be clear, there are costs associated with an indictment like this. So typically, national security matters often do not relate or do not result in an indictment. There's when I was a federal prosecutor, the work my colleagues in the national security section was often writing memos and hanging out with FBI agents in the background while I was out trying cases, because that is often something they want to protect sources and methods. But here, the Justice Department made a determination, I think, that the public's knowledge of what happened was more important than keeping secret what exactly we knew about the Russians.
I find it really fascinating that the House Intelligence Committee didn't come to this conclusion. Mm-hmm. Right?
But the Senate Intel Committee did, right?
Yeah.
I will say the House Intel Committee and the Senate Intel Committee could not be more different in the way they've approached this, right? We saw the circus yesterday for listeners who are paying attention. You know, there was this crazy zoo that was going on in the House Intelligence Committee that, frankly, I think most observers would find kind of embarrassing.
That was the House Judicial Committee.
Oh, that was the oversight.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. But that, you know, the House Intel Committee, isn't that the committee Devin Nunes is on? And supposedly recused from. I mean, there's all this acrimony there. And then on the Senate side, you had a bipartisan report that came out that said, we agree with the Intel Committee's, the intelligence community's conclusions.
Assessment.
Yeah, assessment. We think that it's valid. It was done in a proper way. No, you could not see more of a contrast. I think Americans could be proud of what happened in the Senate, not so proud of what happened in the House. And I don't know what's going on there.
As a Department of Justice official, would you agree with what you heard Peter Strzok say yesterday? That, yeah, he was a dumbass. He shouldn't have done what he did. Shouldn't have sent the texts. He was being certainly braggadocious to his girlfriend, right? Just trying to be, you know, big guy, right? but that he could separate his own personal animus from his work. Have you seen that? I mean, obviously, everybody in the Department of Justice has their own political opinions about things. Did you ever see that raise its ugly head?
Well, you know, Peter Strzok is obviously a bad messenger for any of these messages.
Right.
But I will say this. When I was a federal prosecutor, of course, I had political views. So did every FBI agent I worked with. In fact, most of them were conservative. I think most FBI agents are Republicans.
Yeah, you can see their haircut.
There you go. That said, it was important for everyone to focus on the evidence, to do our jobs, and to not let our personal views on a variety of issues infect our decision making when it came to investigations. You're never going to have, unless you have robots, I don't think we want to have a world in which the only people who can be in the FBI or DOJ are people who are literally so disinterested in the world around them that they have no view at all as to who the president of the United States should be. The problem, obviously, Strzok said things in texts that were problematic given who he was investigating. They created an appearance of impropriety or an appearance of bias that was a problem. And he was saying all the right things. And frankly, I applaud the message, but the messenger, obviously, we need it, it's sad that we don't have better messengers for that message right now. Not enough people are defending the FBI and the Justice Department.
Yeah, well, I think that's you actually have the President of the United States indicting his own Justice Department, basically.
Right. I mean, we have, as I mentioned, the House is trying to impeach the number two man in the president's own Justice Department. The president himself has attacked that man, attacked his own attorney general, attacked the FBI, attacked the Justice Department.
Because they're continuing an ongoing investigation into the efforts by the Russians to interfere with the campaign of Hillary Clinton on the behalf of Donald Trump, and Donald Trump wants to stop it, and he's admitting that, and no one stops and goes, hey, wait a second. Well, I mean, people do stop and say, wait a second, you can't do that, but Republicans who are in charge aren't saying that, and it just is amazing to me that adults in this room who have gotten to that point where they are congressmen and senators aren't outraged by their own by what they're seeing here, because they are so afraid that Donald Trump has some sort of hypnotic thrall over voters that will then vote them out.
It's shocking to me. You know, look, we had the White House issue a statement today in the indictment. No mention of what the Russians did. No mention of the attacks on our election, of stealing of voter data or anything else. But all focused on the president and what his involvement was.
See, I didn't do it. Was basically what it was. See, this proves that I was right. I had nothing to do with this because it's just one set of indictments. It's one tranche of indictments. It's not the whole thing here. But because he's not named in it, and none of his people are named in it. See, so let's end it right here. I mean, it's like, I mean, if you had a little kid doing this, you would go, all right, you know, I mean, he's his, I mean, you know this from being a federal prosecutor, and FBI guys know this, you know, very, very well, because one of the things is when people start acting guilty, right? And this is what this is.
It certainly gives that appearance. If you aren't concerned about the outcome of an investigation, why do you want to shut it down prematurely? There's no, you know, just because this indictment, was issued today, doesn't mean that the investigation should end, doesn't mean that there's not more to come. This is actually a very fast-moving investigation as these things go. And there's been a lot of indictments and a lot of charges, and I think at least 5 guilty pleas. So pretty fruitful investigation so far. Why you'd want to cut that off at the knees, I don't understand, unless you're trying to hide something or protect the Russians in some way. Either way, very problematic.
when he said today no allegation in the indictment, there is no allegation that any American citizen committed a crime, he seemed to separate that out. Would you imagine that there are more to come and that that's a separate piece of this? Or
what I would say is we don't know. I mean, I want to be, I think the fair way to read it, you know, I had a reporter ask me today, if you're Roger Stone or if you're one of these people, would you feel a sense of comfort today? And my answer to him was no. If I represented Mr. Stone or represented somebody who was concerned about an indictment, what I would say is, well, you know, you can feel happy today that you weren't named in this indictment. But what this means today is that there was substantial evidence of a criminal conspiracy involving Russians. And to the extent that you were in any way communicating with those people or involved with them, that's not a lot of comfort for you. It just means that they're continuing the investigation. There could be a separate indictment that charges Stone with a variety of crimes. We don't know, or whoever. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important for all of us. I had a discussion with Britt Hume today on Twitter about this, reserving judgment about the outcome of this until the investigation is over. And I think, you know, all of us, if we want to be fair-minded about it, really need to say, look, here's what these indictments say. I'm concerned about what's in these indictments. And then in terms of anything more, let's see. Let's just let the investigation proceed and see what happens.
All right. No, we can't do that because it might find it, because they'll find whatever they want to find. That's the argument that the White House is using, which again is this notion that then we shouldn't have a Justice Department because they're never going to be doing the right thing.
Well, I will tell you from what we've seen so far, what I've seen as an informed observer is a very careful investigation that is issued a number of indictments, and what we've seen is a bunch of guilty pleas, which generally means that you're not. That's not a way witch hunt. You know, you literally have people pleading guilty. And Paul Manafort looks buried in evidence of his wrongdoing, multiple indictments, lots of charges. That looks very likely to be successful. And these indictments of Russian interference strike me as things that are helpful for America to know what's going on. So I don't see any reason to criticize the investigation thus far.
All right. Madam Mariotti, thank you very much.
Thanks,
sir. Really appreciate it. He's an attorney here in Chicago in private practice. What's the name of the firm?
Thompson Coburn.
Thompson Coburn.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's find out from Judy, who does not have a law firm, although she probably should, the way that she treats people.
Yeah. You never know.
What's coming up?
Well, Governor Rauner gushes over Vice President Pence.
VLS traffic being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
Then there's this. Steve Cochran talks about all the stuff that matters Monday morning on The Steve Cochran Show. Oh, a little tainted love. Thank you.
We got some soft sale on the radio for you right now. Hot and steamy out there, isn't it?
It's the first song you played that I really like.
Hey, you're talking over the post
sorry,
here, huh?
Sorry.
Oh, my God. That hurts my ears, man. And I'm still talking over it. 94 O'Hare. All right. Judy Pilak has got the news. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Penny Mustard Furnishings bringing you the news with Judy. It's a Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis.
Yes. Happy Friday.
It's a Friday.
We won't mention that it's Friday the 13th.
What?
Oh, I just did.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm surprised
I made
it to work, bro.
I'm surprised I made it to work today, if you know what I mean.
Are we still having Knarble?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
We're calling it the hair of the doggable, is what it's going to be today.
Best thing is to have another drink.
Yeah.
I just scouted the food they brought, and it looks pretty awesome.
Yeah. It's a big festival this weekend up on Lincoln Avenue. So we're
very cool.
We're celebrating that. There's so much stuff going on in the city this weekend. We'll get to all that. Don't you worry about it. But, you know, it's time for the Top 5-5. Mr. Mm-hmm. Richard Roper is here.
Hello, and I want to thank you, Ro, for that architectural digest of a good party.
Thank you.
See what I did there?
You know, you could win the deck that we were partying on.
Really?
You could do that, yes.
Amazing.
Go to WGNradio.com/contests and enter for your chance to be the envy of your neighborhood. That's WGNradio.com/contests, sponsored by Architect of Chicagoland, Better Building by Design.
That's really cool.
Fun time.
Pretty great thing right there, all the details.
Thank you, Ro.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Hard not to have fun on that deck. Because it's an architect.
The deck pics are on the website.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
That's true.
Please stop.
Oh. No, we did. They're all there. They're all the deck pics are up there.
Yeah. Very nice. Mm-hmm. Good looking group of humans.
Yep. Yeah, well. All right. let us hold on 1 second. You know what it's time for, don't you?
We do.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Say so.
Number 5.
U.S. indictments today against 12 Russian intelligence officials charged with hacking Democratic email accounts during the 2016 presidential election. The announcement coming only days before the president meets with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein says the defendants created fictitious online personas like Guccifer 2.0 to release thousands of stolen emails and other documents in the months before the election and corresponded with several Americans over the internet. Rosenstein says he briefed President Trump on the indictment earlier this week, which is really interesting given what President Trump, if he knew this was coming, what he said in England today about this whole thing being a witch hunt. And maybe I'll bring it up with Putin. I don't know. Okay, I'll bring it up. If that's what you want.
I think it probably should come up, don't you think? I
mean, you would think. What's he going to say? He's going to say he didn't do it and I'm going to have to believe him.
And what else are you going to do? What do you want to go to war with them? It helped me.
There's no allegation that this indictment, that there were Americans involved in the knowledge of this.
The people who speculate about federal investigations usually do not know all of the relevant facts. We do not try cases on television or in congressional hearings. Most anonymous leaks are not from the government officials who are actually conducting these investigations. We follow the rule of law, which means that we follow procedures and we reserve judgment. We complete our investigations and we evaluate all of the relevant evidence before we reach any conclusion. That is how the American people expect their Department of Justice to operate, and that is how our department is going to operate.
Okay. That was very good.
Mm-hmm.
It's your second to last day at work, sir, before they fire you next week, before the House either impeaches you or the president fires you, because you're getting closer, and we can't have that.
Yeah.
They got those guys. They got the Russians. Now, they'll never get the Russians.
No.
But it does show that this whole thing was not a witch hunt. This whole thing is actually...
It's a real thing.
This really happened.
So you don't think Guccifer 2.0 is going to walk into a police station...
Turn himself in.
Like Kevin Spacey in Seven?
Yeah, I don't think
Surrender?
So.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Good luck getting those guys.
There is an interesting side note in this indictment today.
Yeah.
That on the day that Donald Trump so famously said, "Hey, Russia, if you're listening... You should find those 30,000 lost emails from Hillary Clinton." They did. On that very day.
Exactly. Amazing. Not since Gary Hart said, "Put a tail on me. What are you going to find? I'm not having an affair. Go ahead and tail me."
Ruh-roh. Well, and the other disturbing piece of this that we were talking about earlier, is that 500,000 voters here in the state of Illinois were also targeted in part of these Russian intelligence officer attacks, and that they got names, addresses, driver's licenses, and your partial Social Security number as well.
And they tried to stop. They tried to stop people from voting by changing the address of your...
Meaning the chaos that would have happened if you show up your polling place and that's not the address.
Geez.
So you think about, that's what could have happened.
Hmm.
That was their attempt, but they weren't able to actually pull it off.
Good.
Thankfully.
All right. We'll move on.
Yes.
It's a Friday. I was thinking about continuing on with this. I can't handle any more of it.
Number four.
The president and the prime minister of the United Kingdom, Theresa May, had a joint news conference today.
A lot of hand-holding.
Did
you notice that?
Well, it was an awkward thing because they all woke up to these headlines in The Sun of Donald Trump basically drunk dialing. You know, but he's not drunk. He's just drunk. He's stoned on venom. And he did an interview with The Sun, and he basically said he took a shot at Theresa May not being a strong leader and that if it were him, he would have handled this Brexit thing differently. They're trying to do Brexit, trying to exit from the European Union in a soft way and still kind of stay in it with one foot and maintain their open borders. And they don't, and Trump was like, "No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that." And he was, he was second guessing her.
"I wouldn't do it that way," he said flat out.
Yeah. So then he had to be a little sheepish today. So this is a sound that you don't often hear from President Trump.
"I can tell you there are a lot of people that are looking up now saying, 'Gee whiz, you know, she left a lot of people in her wake.' She's a very smart, very tough, very capable person. And I would much rather have her as my friend than my enemy. That I can tell you."
Said something nice about somebody that he had just said something bad about. He also sort of apologized to her, too.
Wow. Yeah. And he held her hand a lot as they walked around.
Oh, gosh.
He blamed the media for misquoting him.
Yeah, but they have audio of him.
Right. That's my problem of it. That is a little bit of an issue. And he was like, "We record everything, so don't worry about it. We recorded. We know what we said." Well, they recorded too. So they know what you said as well.
Yeah.
So I don't think that we call that fake news when I say it. All right. So Trump was then opened it up to questions. And Jim Acosta from CNN tried to ask one, and that didn't go so well.
President, since you attack CNN, can I ask you a question?
John Roberts, go ahead, John. No. John Roberts, go ahead. CNN's fake news. I don't take questions. I don't take questions from CNN. CNN is fake news. I don't take questions from CNN. John Roberts of Fox. Let's go to a real network. John, let's go.
Well, we're a real network too, sir.
Let's go to a real network.
He and Acosta, my gosh.
And you know, John Roberts, by the way, Canadian. I'll just throw that out there. But you know, he's
we don't like them anymore,
time.
Right?
But you know, he worked for CNN. He used to be a very respectable newsman. He knows he's doing, and he had that smile on his face. And I was just ashamed of him and for him as a reporter, because what he should have said was, I'm going to defer to my colleague at CNN. CNN, reporters at CNN and at other news organizations actually called out Barack Obama at one point when he was president for avoiding Fox News. They ain't going to do the same for CNN.
Right.
He did speak up for them, though, and said there are many wonderful journalists at CNN and that they're, you know, they risk their lives around the world to cover the news.
So, I just hope Jim Acosta at least got to go, like, to the M&M Museum in London or something and bring home some souvenirs. You know, it wasn't a completely wasted trip. That's a long flight, right? Piccadilly Circus or something, right?
Right.
Go to the Abbey Road Studios.
Yeah.
Yes. Right? That'd be a perfect stop.
Do that thing. CNN. Hello.
And then take a picture. Yeah. Take a picture walking across the street. Yeah, do something like that.
Get on a double-decker bus. That'd be fun.
Like Acosta and Tapper walking across like Ringo and Paul.
Take your shoes off. Who's going to take your shoes off?
I'm going to close my eyes.
I do not. I got to tell you, I'm Fox News has had much higher standards than this before.
Absolutely.
And I do not understand why they wouldn't step up for journalism. I know we have a lot of friends over there still. Mm-hmm. I spent a little bit of time over there.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sort of surprised that they didn't do exactly what you said and say, no. That's not how this works. And the White House Press Association, when this, you know, gets back, when they all get back to the United States, they're going to have something to say about that, because it's like it is unacceptable when these are credentialed White House reporters
overseas, no less, too. Yeah. You know, to say that.
All right, Acosta's nuts, but it's still you gotta take the call.
Fun,
and it's the same thing with John Roberts at Fox. They're real because they'll do whatever I tell them to do.
Scouring the entire crowd for making sure Sacha Baron Cohen's nowhere to be seen.
Oh my gosh! Well, there's more on that story too. That Sacha Baron Cohen, apparently, everybody's coming out going they all got duped by him.
He's very good at it.
Sarah Palin got duped in this upcoming movie. Yeah. She's going to be there. Didn't realize that she had signed up with Sacha Baron Cohen.
Mm-hmm. Dick Cheney signed a waterboard.
Roy Moore
was threatening to sue him over whatever said.
Roy Moore threatens a lot of things come to pass.
When you grow up, I might break up with you. That was one of his threats.
All right, we'll get to your 3, your 2, and your 1. But first, let's check in with Judy. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
A beach in Florida closed after 2 shark bites.
Violetta.
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m., then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
Brocon Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. And listen to this. We're in the top 5 of 5, and what are we at?
Number 3.
All right, would you pay 145% on an interest rate?
Wouldn't want to.
Seems high.
It seems a bit high, Tad.
Illinois law requires loans to be based on a borrower's ability to pay, but in many cases, it can be legal for a business to charge you sky-high interest rates. And in this case, Marguerite Payton borrowed a total of $8,000 from a loan machine. Or the loan machine. Is there a loan machine?
There's a machine.
It's a place called loan machine.
Oh.
But her attorney, Steve Urich? I want to get it right. Said she, because he's an attorney, said she ended up paying much, much more.
Based on the records available to us, she paid between $35,000 and $40,000 back to these folks. At this point, it appears as though Mrs. Payton paid all of this money under an agreement that is abhorrent and unconscionable, but very well might be legal. So there are some federal laws that protect folks like Mrs. Payton. There's the Truth in Lending Act that says you have to get certain disclosures. But those laws really are ineffectual because almost all of these agreements have arbitration clauses where you waive your right to sue.
Yeah, it's that. Tough. I mean, you've seen the regulation of payday loan industry. You saw that in Illinois. Because people, if you borrow $300 and you can't afford to pay it back now, how can you afford to pay $600 a couple months from now?
That's why I go to that guy. I get that guy.
You have a special guy for that? He just breaks your knees if you don't. He doesn't charge you anymore.
It's 250% interest an hour.
Oh, gosh.
But you know, but I'm going to the dog track, and I'll be able to get it back.
That's good.
That's how I do it. I'm not supposed to do it like that.
Dog
I wouldn't,
track.
because the horses aren't predictable enough. The dogs are more predictable.
Gosh.
Oh God, that's a degenerate thing right there. All right, here we go.
Number two.
Tomorrow, the comedy that made us think differently about romantic comedies and hair gel turns 20 years old. That's right. That's right. Something About Mary.
Hmm. Oh, love that.
How did you get the zipper all the way to the top?
Oh, gosh.
That's my favorite line in the whole
movie.
It
just makes you laugh every time. You know what's coming, and you still, it gets you.
Well, here you go.
Exactly what the hell is the situation?
I got it stuck.
You got what stuck?
It.
Oh! It,
What exactly are we, looking at here?
What do you mean? What?
Well, I mean, is it the,
Is it the Frank or the beans?
Right. I don't know. It looks like I think it's a little bit of both.
Break some veins.
What's that bubble there?
What do you think? It's a...
Well, how the hell did you get the beans above the Frank? I mean, I
don't know. It wasn't like it was a well thought out plan.
One of the most awkwardly funny moments.
The cop listen. Sticks his head through the window. Yeah,
I can't.
Oh, God. Uh-huh.
I'm going to see that again.
Yeah. CNN, which Donald Trump refuses to watch, is running that they've rebooted that the history of comedy, which they tried to do last year, but they kept getting preempted by stuff that was happening in Washington, and they could never run it.
Yeah.
So now they're trying it again, and the hair gel scene is one of the
moments you can't forget.
One of the moments, yeah. Because I think the first episode is, why is sex so funny?
Oh. Depends on the point of view.
Exactly. Well, if you don't laugh, you'll cry.
Number one.
What?
Oh, my God. Have we gotten to this? Because I didn't get to read this in advance. We're promoting the A Very Cavallari upcoming Sunday episode now.
Oh,
people!
I reviewed that like a movie for the Sun Times. I actually reviewed that. You can check that out. I've seen these episodes.
Best primetime performance ever for Jay Cutler. One person.
Kristen.
I think it was David Haw that said that.
On Sunday.
I don't care what David Haw said.
Well, I want to read the Richard Roper one. I'm going to check that out now.
I don't care. All right. Go ahead, Roper.
On Sunday, Kristen struggles to maintain control as a rivalry between Brittany and Shannon continues to cause chaos the office when simple tasks aren't... What office are we talking about here?
Well, it's set in Nashville because they've moved to Nashville now,
right?
And she has started a brick-and-mortar store of her line of clothing and jewelry. Uncommon James, it's called. I see. I know all about this.
You really do.
Well,
you're going deep.
The shows to review them. So, yeah, that's where... And all of her friends are beautiful and skinny and white, and they all have that talking like the bachelorettes do, like when they go like this. I'm so upset.
That's how you talk when you're from Barrington, right? She's got that very Barrington
So Brittany
accent.
And Shannon, and yeah, they're rivals.
Okay.
Already. Ooh, it's nasty.
And so there's chaos is ensuing here because simple tasks are not being completed. And Jay has to take charge.
The boss is here. You might want to cut it out.
All right. Chop, chop. Let's go. Good places to go.
No labels. She said she'd have a label maker.
Why didn't someone go and get paper just to write them down? Jay has to go. That's why I called you guys.
I told her.
Y'all didn't get labels yet? Can I fire him?
The
Please do.
Gladly. What are they? I don't understand what they've been doing.
That's why I go, what, you guys just thought I was like joking? Like, what the?
Where does Jay have to go? That's the great part I took away from that.
That's the great part. His schedule most days is he has one appointment at 2:30. He picks up the kids with the other moms from school. And in every scene, he wears some variation of camo and a baseball cap, either backwards or forward, and has that just that look on his face. And his big hobby right now is watching video of deer feeding, like, you know, deer coming up to a deer feeder and eating.
On his property?
Not even on his property, as she points out. Not even our property. And he's naming the deer. So he's doing just what you thought he'd be doing post-retirement. A lot of philanthropy, a lot of good works, helping the youth.
Very engaged.
Getting involved. Mm-hmm.
Wait. There's a throwback scene here coming up on Sunday where Kristen recalls the earlier days of dating Jay.
I want to know more about when you guys first started dating. What was Jay like?
No one knew. You're going to hit.
Jay was actually incredibly sweet. That was the man that I fell in love with, writing me love emails and love letters when I'd be in LA because it was long distance. I'd come in town. We would have so much fun together. And then I don't know what happened.
You decided to go to bed at 8:45 or 9. Let's go. You're up.
Jay has this image, this persona, but Jay has no game. Let me just put that on record.
Well, we know that.
I don't know how he has no game. I have much better game than Jay.
Oh, my God.
That's the Barrington accent.
Yeah, oh my God. Mm-hmm.
She like sings instead of talks. She sings everything.
And she also informs us that he recently read an article in GQ about what a man can do for a woman. And apparently he hadn't been into that until just now. So things have gotten better.
Whoa, Cuddy. Yeah.
Finally going downfield after all these years.
Right, finally. Yeah.
So. Yeah. And her nickname for him is Les Mis. Because he's so miserable. So you just feel like this is a marriage.
So we knew it. I mean, everything we suspected about it.
Yes. Right. Because I thought maybe we're going to find out this guy's engaging and smart and sweet. You know, they've got three kids together. He's exactly like you feel like you can see the cigarette from smoking Jay there at all times.
Like he's always got that I don't care look on his face we remember.
Her friends come into the room at one point. He doesn't say hi. And she's like, you didn't say hi to my friends. He goes, I'm more of a goodbye person than a hello person.
Buys and highs.
Buys and highs. It's so good.
All right, chop chop.
By the way, when did he ever say that on the field?
You're right.
Chop chop.
When was that?
Oh, my God.
They found a way to get football fans now to watch the E! Network.
Yes, they're watching.
KCAV. KCAV and Jay, come join us. We want to talk to you about this new Emmy Award-winning television show.
And it will get an Emmy, too.
Oh, my God.
And it will.
And he won't show up to accept whatever.
Yeah, no, he'll show up, but he'll have that look on his face.
Do I have to be?
Well, it'll be the first thing he's ever won, so that'll be something.
He won a playoff game in high school. They always claim.
Yeah, he did.
I don't think Vanderbilt went anywhere.
Right. Well, he did win a playoff game with the Bears, right? He won.
Yes, because he won a championship game. And then, he got hurt and pouted as the Packers and Roe and I cried in the booth while Ashton Kutcher was avoiding us.
Yeah, that was true. That was a bad moment. Ashton Kutcher was not happy to see Richard, as I seem to recall from that. Yeah, moment.
Backstory there.
Yeah, all right. We'll get to that a little bit later on. All right, let's just close this thing up, shall we?
The top five at five.
Jeter Bilex News being brought to you by PermaSeal Waterproofing Systems.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Need me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here. I want one bourbon, one shot, and one beer. One bourbon, one scotch, one beer.
Tastes great, makes women appear more attractive, and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life, and I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it, I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
And I can't help but wonder, when I see you looking there with a little smirk, how many times did you look so innocent into your wife's eyes and lie to her about Lisa?
Mr. Chairman, sir!
You forgot the part, get off your meds or get on your meds?
Mr. Chair, please.
You know, Chairman, this is an intolerable harassment of the witness.
What's wrong with that? You need your medication.
Boy, what a circus.
Oh my God.
Not since Tom Hagen demanded an apology of the Senate committee hearing after Michael Corleone was unfairly brought in front of them.
I thought that was a conversation from last night.
Actually, it was at my deck party.
How dare you?
Canarbo Wagon is being brought to you by It's Just Lunch. All right, listen to this. This is one of the best neighborhoods in Chicago. It arguably right now is the best neighborhood for food in Chicago. People love the West Loop. I know they love the West Loop, but I'm going to tell you something right now. Lincoln Square. Pound for pound.
There you go.
And there's better parking. It's just what I'm going to say.
That?
Maybe a little better pricing, too, sometimes.
And some better pricing. But pound for pound, I think Lincoln Square can keep up with anybody right now. And they're doing their Square Roots, 7th Annual Square Roots Festival. This is this is the biggest weekend for festivals in Chicago because you got Taste of Chicago downtown, you got all this other stuff, you got the Cubs in town, you got the concerts at Wrigley in town this weekend.
Windy City Smokehouse, yeah.
Right, Smokeout. And if you want to go to a more laid back, really cool, some of the best food in the city, you got to check out the Square Roots Festival. And I know I'm doing all your work for you right now, Rudy, but Rudy Flores is with us. He's executive director. And you got to just be so proud. First of all, that neighborhood in these 7 years you've been doing it is basically revolutionizing itself, isn't it?
It is, yeah. There's a lot of growth going on right now in our neighborhood. A lot of great restaurants, like you were just saying. There's something for everybody. We call it like a little European enclave in Chicago.
It is. It is.
It's just a Greek food, German food, Italian. I mean, if you want it, it's there.
And there's great Asian food up there. There's also, three of my favorite restaurants in Chicago right now are right there. You got, I love Gather, which is right on Lincoln Avenue.
They're in the event.
Luella's, which is, if you want, Southern. This, to me, it's like Southern comfort soul food. And it's, oh my God, and you want greens. You know how hard it is to make good greens? Do you have any idea? You have to boil them for 8 straight weeks. It's like that. And they do. They have just the most amazing stuff. And then you got a great sushi restaurant up there. You got the whole thing. So you're closing off the street.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. So it's closed off Lincoln Avenue. It's from Wilson to Montrose.
Okay.
So if you're familiar with where Old Town School of Folk Music is, both there.
Yes, I go up there and I play my lute.
Daughter's taking classes there, and it's a favorite. I mean, it just is. It's a treasure in Chicago.
It is. So it's got that whole entire street. The parking lot that's right there is one of like our North Stage, which is where all the premier bands are going to be for the. The
so where would you suggest people park if they're coming to this?
I would say the neighborhood, but the residents don't want that.
Yeah, right, exactly.
the divvy bikes are available throughout the city. Get a little exercise there.
Scooter
work
over
up
there.
An appetite.
Well, the neighborhood itself has grown up. You know, that Ravenswood neighborhood is just it couldn't be hotter.
It is. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so much construction. I think if you look at Western, a lot of people forget you can parallel park on Western.
Yeah.
And Western can be a little nightmare of like backing up.
Gigantic parking lot right there where Western and Lincoln kind of almost come together.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know,
near the L.
Yes, near the L, right? And it is what a beautiful weekend.
We're lucky right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
There may be a little dotting in the morning tomorrow, but what time does the thing open
noon.
Tomorrow?
So if it wants to rain in the morning, it's fine.
Yeah. So you've been doing it for 7 years. Was it started in with Old Town School of Folk Music? Or
yes.
I know it benefits them.
Yeah, so what happened was they used to do the Folk and Roots music festival, and we as a chamber wanted to do something that really highlighted our restaurants and the craft beer movement that was happening in the Ravenswood corridor. And so we were like, they wanted to kind of reinvent what they were doing, and we're like, well, let's work together. Nice. So it's just showing everything that we have in both Lincoln Square and Ravenswood. So that's when we started off with just more of the local breweries and that were just popping up in Ravenswood. And now we have 18 breweries. We have 46 beers going to be poured.
Nice.
Probably it's the
46 beers, Kev. Yeah. 46, buddy.
You can hear me in the north side.
Make your plans for the weekend.
I'm in.
All right. Pace yourself. We got a whole sample of them.
Yeah. Now I want to get to. I want to get to that in just 1 second. Okay. I want to get to that. It's very important, but I just have to say that this is an absolute must for people.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't make it this year, you got to get up into this neighborhood because it's a sneak. I'm almost afraid to tell people about it.
No, please.
Because it's
stop hoarding it to yourself.
Because it is amazing. Well, first of all, these restaurants are they're already jammed, right?
They are.
They've got, but it is there, you go up and down Lincoln Avenue.
Yes.
You start at Wilson. You end up at, you know, what is it? Montrose on the, wait, no. You end up at Lawrence, essentially,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And go all the way through. That's just, and it used to be, I used to go up to the old Lincoln Square to the German restaurants with my parents when I was a kid, you know.
Right.
There'd be an
Oompa
band, and they'd be serving us something gigantic, still moving on the plate, and people would be drinking yards of beer. And then you drive down Lincoln, and it would be, you know, you just, you drive by Martyrs, and you go, oh my God, I'm scared, right? And now, it's like, it's such, it's beautiful clubs and restaurants, mm. And the neighborhood on either side is these beautiful homes. The mayor even lives there.
And the Atlantic Bar. Isn't that the big soccer spot? I'm sure that's going to be packed for the World Cup, right?
The Atlantic Bar. Yeah.
The
Atlantic Bar.
Hotspurs. Packed that place.
Yeah.
That's a little hidden gem, too. People don't realize. Yeah. You just go a little
cool
bit north
spot.
On Lincoln.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's right up there. On,
yeah.
Croatia
the,
minus half of
the whole what? The whole strip. Lincoln Avenue is such a cool, from, you know, right where it starts at Clark Street, all the way, you follow it all the way to you get to those creepy motels. if you, but right before you get to the creepy motels up near Lincolnwood, if you just, it, everything there is just, has become such hot real estate. But this is a very special corridor right here. All right. Now that I've done all that work for you, let's start drinking.
Yes.
All right. Now, what do we got here? What are the beers? These are all local beers, right?
They are, yeah. So the first one, this is this cherry-looking beer here. This is from Dovetail Brewery. So they're located right at Ravenswood and Irving Park. And this beer is a specialty release beer that you'll get at our festival this weekend. It was released...
I'm hoping not to do a specialty release when drinking. That, what is going on here?
So
it's
this is
red.
It's called a creek beer. It's actually made with Balatum cherries.
Mm,
and so this has been fermenting for 2 years.
How about that?
So have I.
So they have what
true.
They have this massive like sink they call it. They call it a cool ship, and it sits in there over the winter. The windows are open, so it's getting in the natural Chicago air to give it some flavor.
Oh,
wow,
that's a great idea.
And then it's barreled. Sits in these barrels for 2 years, and then you're
it's
tasting the final product.
It's got to, I love
it's
that that almost sour cherry
right.
kick to it.
And
bitterness. The Chicago air, I thought I was detecting notes of light corruption. So that's wonderful, too, to have. You know?
just a little bit. Oh, it's got a little bit of that. Yeah.
It's really good, though. I'm kind of surprised.
A little bit, yeah.
I would like it this way.
Tom, Tanya, the alderman there, who's your local?
A Mayapur.
Oh, okay. Mayapur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this the owner, his family is descended from Germany, so all the beer that they do have the German influence.
Love
like
that.
A great Hefeweizen. So that this is a beer that would be from Germany. So
we're going to do the other beers. Hold on one second.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Weiss beer. That was the first time I ever had a Weiss beer. It was on like an avenue in one of those German places. Yeah, it was years and years and years ago.
Yes.
My drinking age was 12.
Yeah, I was
all right,
that.
Hold on one second. We will get right back to this. It's the 7th Annual Square Roots Festival in Lincoln Square this weekend. You must stop by. I encourage people, there's going to be great music, there's the beer, there's the great restaurants up there. This is really a special thing. This and the, to me, it's my second favorite festival, will be my first, but the one, the Greek festival on Halstead was always my favorite.
Love that.
A ridiculous, ridiculous moment that
it
happens.
Is.
But I think that pound for pound, the best restaurants right now in Chicago are up there.
And there's a Barbagianni over there that I've had many a family event right over there in Lincoln Square.
Yep.
Yes. Love it.
So there you have it. All right, right back. Stay right here. First of all, Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
The controversial president of SIU is out.
Violetta?
Then there's this. Listen to Steve Cochran Monday morning, 7:20. Your chance to win a free four-pack, of tickets
easy.
To the Blackhawks convention.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Not to steal your thunder, cheesy radio guy.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, jeez.
There's a family four-pack coming up.
Oh, gosh. Stay close.
Stay close for the next 72 hours.
Hmm.
All right. I have got, first of all, the Carnarvon Wagon is out. It is being brought to us by It's Just Lunch.
Thank you.
And the 7th Annual Square Roots Festival is here. And Rudy Flores is the executive director, and he's brought all the food. The greatest. I'm telling you, this is pound for pound, best restaurants in Chicago right now are in or around Logan Square, or around Lincoln Square. Not Logan Square. Logan Square is great, but Lincoln Square. This is the hidden gem that people should be not going to because I love it so much.
You like to be able to get in when you
want
to get
into the restaurants.
It's named after the second most popular president in the United States.
That's right. That's according to the president. He said he's more popular than Abraham Lincoln.
No, they did that polling in the 1860s. I'm enjoying the beer. Enough of that.
Right. Okay. So let's get back to the beer here for a second because this is all local stuff that you're doing here, right? It's all basically from Lincoln Avenue.
It's, yeah, most of them are from
Sorry, most of them are from, a lot of them are from Ravenswood. So you have like Half Acre, you have Beguiled, Dovetail, Sketchbook. they're just popping up. Empirical Brewery, Band of Bohemia, which is the only Michelin star brewery in this country, I think.
Amazing.
Yeah, so they're all participating. But then you have Lagunitas and Five Rabbits and Sketchbook, or not Sketchbook, I'm sorry, Spiteful.
Yeah. Five Rabbits is great, by the way.
I like that.
Those
I enjoyed that too.
Those guys are genius. They really are. And I mean, that's the whole thing. I was never into this. As the people will tell you, I was much more of a cocktail and wine kind of guy.
Yeah.
But the new beers are so interesting. There's so much going on. And Chicago's an epicenter for it, and it's right here.
Yeah. Like this, you said Five Rabbits. So we have the Guava Paleta, which is one of my favorite.
Yes.
Made of guava. It's only 3.5%, so it's a nice summer beer, in my opinion. Especially for a street festival. You know, you're out in the sun. It's not going to dehydrate you too much. It's just very refreshing.
It is refreshing.
They've got it figured out there, too, because they got the endless water supply where they're brewing from. But they also, they're adding all that sort of that Fresca, all those like Fresca fruit drink kind of flavors to it. Mm-hmm. But it's still beer. It's not sweet. It's still beer, but it's got it's alive, which I think is really, really cool.
Refreshing, for sure.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Well, please, people. Go enjoy yourselves, and if I am in line at the restaurant, step out of the way. That's all I'm asking you to do. That's all I'm asking you to do at the 7th Annual Square Roots Festival, because I'm telling you about it. I'm the guy that told you about it. Mm-hmm. And then if, you know, it's like, the lines are going to be long. But it's great. Going to be absolutely great. Lincoln Square going on, started right now, just about an hour ago, exactly 1 hour ago. Thank you, Tone Man.
All right.
And it runs through Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So go and hang out and have a great time at this, one of the great festivals in Chicago, 7th Annual Square Roots Festival in Lincoln Square. We got live music coming your way, and the Carnival Wagon stays out right after Judy's News after
1, 2, 3.
Live Music Friday.
Yes.
That's Eden Archer, Bad Imitation of Something Good. And now, I got to say that Eden has just stepped into the studio. We did a little sound check.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to pray for ourselves here. We've had some, it's a brand new studio, so we have some technical things that are happening here. And it will be very interesting to see what actually occurs when we go live here in just a few minutes. But I got to say, the music is absolutely
amazing,
astounding. Mm-hmm. Really, really great stuff.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here in this gorgeous city in the skyscraper.
Yeah, how about that? Where are you from?
I'm from Gainesville, Florida.
Oh, there's
not
a lot
so
of
many
music from Gainesville, Florida.
A lot of music, not so many skyscrapers.
Yeah.
So this is super fancy for me.
Yeah, well, just wait. It's, you know, the building may be fancy, but the occupants are not. So I don't know how that really goes. You are going to be playing at Haymarket, which we absolutely love.
Yes,
Haymarket Brewery.
Great spot.
On Randolph,
yes.
And that's going to be on Saturday, tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow, yeah, at 7:30. It's such a beautiful room, a special vibe. Some rooms just have a great vibe, and Haymarket Pub does, and I'm just so happy to be back in Chicago to play it. We got a Grammy-nominated Andrew Duhon, Alex Hoffer. It's going to be a jam.
Pretty amazing stuff. And now, are you traveling with this now that you've got, is it an LP or EP that you have out?
My EP was from a few years ago. I'm ramping up to release a full length.
Oh, full album.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a scary thing. But you're working with big producers, actually, right? I mean, you've got some people on here that...
I've got some great players. It's half produced by myself and then half by...
That's what I said, great producer.
Right. True, but no, I have some amazing players. My bass player, Kat Popper, she played with Jack White and Ryan Adams. My guitar player is on tour with Joe Jackson right now. Another guitar player has played with like Dolly Parton, Emmy Lou, and it's just, you know, I'm just so lucky to have these awesome players. So I'm really excited about it. I love all these songs also.
Where's full-time home for you now?
Basically Nashville.
Nashville, you're working
Yeah.
Oh, who everybody says that.
Well,
you
know,
as soon as Jay Cutler moved down there, then everybody had to move to Nashville.
He's selling his $8 million home, if anyone wants it.
Yeah, let me go take a look.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's all right, whatever. Well, Nashville's a great place, though, because
it
all the musicians, we'd say this every week when we have people on, and everybody's from Nashville now, because if you're gonna make music, you're going to find other writers and producers and people, the collaborators.
Yeah.
It's the best place to be.
Oh, it's amazing to be able to go out any night of the week and be inspired. It really keeps you on your toes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't rest on your laurels there. You really, really pushes you.
It's the only thing that's missing is a Subway, because everybody would be down in the Subway playing there too,
yeah,
like they do here. And that's and if they got a Subway, which they only have to be one block long because you have all the people down there. You when you walk up and down the streets there in the Bar District or wherever, and
Broadway,
on Broadway, or you go off out into the neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
Down near Vanderbilt or anything, and you find these like little coffee houses, and the people who are sitting there playing guitar are, I mean, they're some of the best you've ever heard in your
unbelievable
life.
Mm-hmm.
It's like insane, the competition
so much talent
down there
in
yes
one place.
And the songwriting, I mean, there's so many great songwriters. So I'm just happy to be there hanging out. I wanted to be part of a community, make friends with other artists, and I really have found that there. They're so welcoming, and everybody knows each other, and it's just, yeah.
Yeah. And everybody wants to collaborate because they're, you know, mm-hmm, some of them have already had some success, and others are just kind of, you know, sitting there waiting on that moment because the songs, music is so different now because you have the songs have to find their audience as opposed to being shoved in front of an already hungry audience the way
right
it was, you know, for decades in the music industry. And there's just so much content and it's so, and there's, and the record labels, they don't see the money in it anymore. So they just, mm-hmm, they sort of let you off to, you know, they've orphaned a lot of great artists,
sure,
but from that comes some really great art.
That's true. I mean, there isn't much money because of streaming. People don't really right buy albums. I mean, I don't buy albums anymore either.
You really should start. You should always say that you do, even if you don't.
I pay for my streaming service for sure. And I do buy albums from my friends. And when I go to a show, I'll buy a vinyl. You know, that's great. But as far as like, you know, those days of carrying a whole book of CDs around everywhere you go.
Right.
Those days are gone.
Right.
Vinyl is still something really special, mm-hmm, that people love. So
I find vinyl to be it's such a funny thing because vinyl does have a richer, wider sound than compacted music, literally. Mm-hmm. But it's I think, you know, there's the lack of durability of the vinyl itself is what always gets me. I cannot tell you how many as a kid, how many albums, you know, when I was a club DJ,
yeah,
how many albums I ruined, how many got melted in the trunk of
scratched
my car.
The
yeah
day that we had heard that John Lennon died, my mom came home and she found me and my sister sliding up and down the hallway on his record. I sat on it and my sister just pushed me and we were
really?
She was like,
what a story.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a song in there somewhere,
song,
I think.
Yeah. Yeah. There was punishment in there somewhere,
yeah,
too, I would
was
imagine. Yeah.
Was it
very
a
emotional
musical family? You said.
Yeah. I come from a very musical family, not a music business family, just like yeah a music.
Everybody did something.
Passion.
Yeah. We all played. My dad played stand up bass for like a old timey honky tonk band. My mom plays also and taught us a lot of, we used to sing ballads when we were younger, child's ballads from England and Scotland and Ireland.
Oh.
A lot of murder ballads, actually.
Oh.
Which were, yeah, you know, kind of hardcore.
Oh.
Always a little creepy to have a bunch of little girls singing that because me and my sisters would sing in three and four part.
About decapitation
harmony
and things like that, yeah.
There is a song about that, yes. Well, everyone has a sword. Everyone has, the real phrase is, they have a wee pen knife.
Oh.
Seems like
oh
everyone has a wee penknife.
Oh, it's like that little area from Game of Thrones. You know, that's,
yes,
yes, it's kind of what it is. Yeah. Wow. Well, this has gone yeah off the rails, hasn't it? All right. Now here's the deal. Eden Archer is going to play for us live and pray for us before she plays for us because
mm-hmm
there is going. It's we're going to try to make this work in this studio for the first time. So this will be a lot of fun. Stay tuned for that. You can go see her tomorrow night. She's opening for Andrew Duhon, who is a Grammy-nominated artist at Haymarket Brewery, which is at the corner of Randolph and Halsted. You cannot miss it. And like I said, a great music room.
It's free.
Yeah, it's separate from the restaurant. It's you can walk through the restaurant or go separately, and it's intimate, mm-hmm. but you can always get the bar is gigantic.
It so is,
you
can always get a great drink. Beer.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the best of both worlds.
And closest to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is the most important thing. So if it's not going well, at least you can get to the bathroom quickly. I mean, that's the thing. All right, stay right here. Eden's going to play for us. But first, let's check in with Judy, find out what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
The Illinois State Board of Election says it was very likely the target by the Russians.
Violetta?
Pat Tomasulo of WGN Morning News. He has his own comedy show, and Saturday nights in Chicago, they'll never be the same. Man of the People, Saturdays at 10 on WGN-TV.
That's Eden Archer. She's about to play for us live. That's a single called Cruel Mother. And you can find Eden Archer where all fine music is sold on the internet and streaming services. And you are going to be, you can see her tomorrow night, opening for Andrew Duhon at Haymarket. Andrew Duhon is a Grammy-nominated artist. And I think that we'll be able to say that about Eden before this is all
yes,
said
we
and
will.
Done as well.
Oh, my gosh.
And yes, from my lips to, well, to somebody's ears. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, all right, what are you going to play for us?
I'm going to play a song that's probably going to be the next single that I put out. It's called Six Wing Angel.
Take it away.
I keep calling, please don't call my name. Can you leave it till the morning? For I will be here just the same. Well, Lord, I know you do my number. If you don't sing me over, sing me soft and sweet. I got nobody at my bedside, a six-winged angel at my feet, and a six-winged angel at my feet. This is a lonesome list I've been. I know the best thing about dying is I won't have to die again. Well, whiskey, sing me over. Sing me soft and sweet. A six-winged angel at my feet, and a six-winged angel at my feet. Soft and sweet. I've got nobody at my bedside, and a six-winged angel at my feet, and a six-winged angel at my feet. Oh,
go. Wow.
Wow. Is that good?
Eden Archer, you can see her tomorrow night at Haymarket, which is a great room. Like we said, it's at Randolph and Halsted in Chicago. And I'm not quite sure what you're doing with your voice. I'm not quite sure what I'm hearing here.
Well, I heard one of it being described as sultry as sweet tea, and somehow that just works, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Well,
that's good.
Wow.
I like sweet tea.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. Now she demures.
Sweet with the right amount of punch in there, too. Yeah. You can feel there's a lot of energy there.
Put a little moonshine in there. Thank you.
Yes. And there's listen, every great soulful folk country crossover is really, it's an ode to whiskey. I mean, it's what it is.
There's a long tradition of songs in that canon, you know, whiskey, moonshine. It's metaphorical also. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's mostly about the whiskey, but whatever you say, I'm going to go with it.
This song is actually literally about the whiskey.
Yeah, I think that's what I heard. All right, you want to go see her tomorrow night. Do not miss this at Haymarket Brewery in Chicago, which is Randolph and Halsted. Just, you know, put it in your computer and you'll get right there.
We should mention also, just name one of the 10 best country songs of the week by Rolling Stone is your bad imitation of something good, and that is incredible.
I was stunned and blown away by that. I'm so grateful. Yeah, I'm so excited to be Rolling Stone.
Eden Archer, E-D-A-N, by the way, is how you spell that. EdenArcher.com. You can look at her Facebook, Instagram, all the rest of the stuff right there. Congratulations.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for sharing your talent with us. It's
going to
beautiful.
Be a great star, and you will forget us like all the great stars do on your way up, and then remember us on your way down. That's how it always works out. Eden Archer, go see her tomorrow night at Haymarket. We've got Judy Pylak's news coming your way in 2 minutes.